Okay, good evening. Welcome to part 13 of Hilchas Bishul, B'Shabbos. Tonight's shiur is, in my mind, the most exciting shiur of the series, and that's because we're going to talk about what's on most people's mind, and that's how do you heat up food on Shabbos. And we're going to talk about that. I hope we'll have time to do the whole thing tonight because there are a few key things that I want to get in this evening. I hope I'll get the time to do them all tonight. So it'll be one unit just with this topic of how you could warm up foods on Shabbos. But before we do that, let's just review quickly what we did at the end of last week. Last week we pointed out that halacha l'maisa, if you take your hot pot off the blech, or you take your crock pot off the chalim pot, off the crock pot, off the base, and you put it down on the counter, and you let go, you will be permitted, b'di'eved, to, yes, still return it onto the heat source. L'chatchila, you should have in mind, you should have your hands on it, but b'di'eved, you can put it back even if you put it down. Similarly, we saw that if you did not have da'as to return it, if it is still in your hands, you can, nevertheless, b'di'eved, still put it back even though you forgot to have in mind to return it. We also talked about the nature of what kind of da'as you need, and we concluded, the Shabbos Kitchen gave us a kula, that even if you did not have intention to put it back, you just didn't have the intention to not put it back, meaning if you took it off without intention, if the electricity went off, and that's removing something from the flame without any intention, isn't it? There's no mind there. Nevertheless, you can allow it to stay on when the electricity goes back on, as long as it's still warm. Then we pointed out that whenever you do chazara, you always need a blech. So even though sometimes when you want to leave a food there on Friday afternoon, if it's half cooked, you don't need a blech, mi'ikar hadin. However, if you want to put something back onto a fire, you always need a blech. No questions asked, always no exceptions. Therefore, if you ever want to taste the chalent on Friday night, when you take it off the crock pot, you can only return it to the base if there is a blech, which we explained as an aluminum foil lining the interior, hopefully sticking out, jutting out from the top, so it serves as a hecker, as a visual recognition. If you don't have that aluminum foil there, you will not be permitted to put it back in any circumstance. Now, let us begin tonight's topic, which is heating up food on Shabbos. And to begin, we just first, before we talk about what we can do and how we can do it, let's first make clear, as we did at the end of last week's shiur, that halacha only permits returning something to a fire when it was on the fire, doing chazara. To place something anew, meaning something that has never been on a flame on Shabbos, just take it, it's been in the refrigerator since Thursday, it is aser, according to all opinions, there is no one who is lenient in this, there is not any single Gemara, Rishon, or Acharon who is lenient in this point, to take something that's been in the fridge since the end of the week, Thursday, Friday, and to put it on a flame, even with a blech, on Shabbos. That is called Nesina Mechadash, placing it anew, and that is aser midrabanan. Of course, if it's fully cooked, there's no bishul, but midrabanan, that will be aser. So let's start with something that has been called the Boston Heter. It's a kula that has been said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik. To understand this kula, we need to know a little bit of history about Boston in the 1940s, 50s, maybe 60s. At that time, Boston was not a bastion of Torah observance as it is now. If there are any Boston people here, I think there's... Right, I knew that. Good. I'm very proud of myself. Thank you. At that time, there was a very high rate of not mitzvah observance, and therefore, Rav Soloveitchik tried to figure out a way to, on one hand, inculcate chashivas and the opportunities to keep Shabbos, at the same time realizing the crowd with which he is dealing. Based on that cultural phenomenon, Rav Soloveitchik was reliant on a shita of the Ran. What is the shita of the Ran? Well, we have learned for the past 2, if not 3 weeks, that whenever you want to put something on a fire, it has to be that you took it off the fire, and you need 5 conditions. What are the 5 conditions? Mevushal kol tzarko, and there has to be a blech. And you have to, it has to still be warm. Fourthly, it has to have, you have to have your mind to return it, lechatchila. And fifthly, if that's a word, also lechatchila, it has to be kept in your hand. If you lack some of those, so the last two, if you lack it, then b'dieved, it's okay. If you forgot it, if you didn't have it in mind, or if you no longer have it in your hand, but it always has to be still hot, or mevushal kol tzarko, or with a blech. Well, says the Ran, all these halachos that require you to have these five conditions of chazara, that's only, listen very carefully, if you had it off the flame when Shabbos came in, and now you want to put it on a flame on Shabbos, then you need these five conditions. However, said the Ran, and this is what the Boston had, this is what's called the Boston Heter, Salvatrix Boston Heter. However, if the food was on the flame when Shabbos came in, Shabbos starts, before you light candles, you make sure you have foods on the flame, all the foods that you're going to have tonight, all the foods you're going to have tomorrow, that's on the flame. Then tonight, after the meal, or after people come home from shul, after it's already Shabbos, you take them off, put them in the refrigerator, and then tomorrow in the morning, you want to warm them up on the blech before the lunch meal, that's okay. You don't need any of those conditions, except a blech. You need a blech. But all the other conditions, that it has to still be hot, and it has to be with daita lachzar, and it has to be odo biodo, that, says the Ran, is not necessary. Why? Because when Shabbos entered, it was in your when Shabbos entered, it was on the flame. And therefore, you're doing chazara, you're returning that which was on the blech when Shabbos came in. Shabbos came in, it was on the flame. So even though there were 12 hours from, let's say, 7 p.m. till 14 hours, till 9 a.m., 10 a.m., 11 a.m., that it was in the refrigerator, since when Shabbos came in, it was on the blech, you are allowed to return it from the refrigerator to the blech on Shabbos morning, and that is not considered, says the Ran, a nesina chadasha. That's not considered a new nesina, which would be aser. That is the leniency of the Ran and another one or so of the Rishonim. The Ramah, however, says, even though there are those who are make it like this, and there are those who are nohig, this leniency, that something that was on the blech when Shabbos came in, you could put it in the fridge, and then put it back on the flame on Shabbos day, says the Ramah, it is better not to rely on this opinion. This is not the general opinion of the Rishonim, this is not the way we should paskin, and therefore, the Mishnah Brura and the Igros Moshe both say, and this is the general practice among the vast majority of Klal Yisrael, that lichatchila, one cannot rely on having your food on the blech Friday night, putting it in the fridge overnight, and taking it out Shabbos day, putting it on the blech Shabbos day. That is not lichatchila, something that one can rely upon. Even though the Ramah says you should not follow this opinion, it is important to know this opinion for two very important reasons. First of all, there are a lot of people, especially in the Yeshiva University community, who do rely on this heter, especially because it has been said in the name of Rav Soloveitchik that this is what he held, even though we explained that it was based on certain sociocultural, theological, whatever you want to call it, conditions of Boston in 30, 40, 50 years ago, which are not the same for the Torah community that, Baruch Hashem, we have become over the past few years. But you're invited in your community. There are probably plenty of people who do rely on this Ran. So now we learned weeks and weeks ago that if somebody violates Shehiya, they leave something on the flame not with the proper halacha, without a blech, or if somebody violates chazara, they took something off and put it on without following the halachos, the food is asur to eat. It's not kosher. It's asur b'dieved. And oh my gosh, my parents accepted an invitation from that family down the block, and this is what they do. They rely on the Ran, and they have their food on the blech Friday night. They put it in their fridge overnight. And Shabbos morning, before the meal, when they know that the guests are coming, they're going to put it back on the blech. We don't hold like that, Ran, right? But we learned before, a few weeks ago, that the Mishnah Berurah says that whenever there's an opinion, even if we don't rely on it, even if we don't follow it, but if there's ever an opinion who says something is okay, then you're always going to be allowed to eat it b'dieved. Meaning, let's say there's a machlokas, and we are machmir, if there was a lenient opinion, a real opinion, the Ran is certainly a real opinion, the Ramah who cites him is certainly a real person to rely on, so b'dieved, if it did happen, the food is kosher. And therefore, halach l'maisa, you should not rely on this Ran l'chatchila, meaning you shouldn't go to in your house, put food on the blech Friday night, take it, put it in the fridge, and put it back on the blech Shabbos day. But if somebody does it, or if you're invited to a family, or if your own family does it, the food is 100% kosher, nothing to be worried about, b'di'evad. The second situation is something that came up with me a few weeks ago. I got a phone call from somebody who was, as an individual, very similar to those people in Boston a few decades ago. A young woman who was on her journey to become more observant. Her family was not yet where she was, and she's just beginning. And she called me Friday afternoon about how to have her food heated up on Shabbos, given that her family, who oftentimes gives her a hard time about keeping mitzvahs, they're coming over, so she wants to make sure it's nice. So even though I wouldn't necessarily have told her, even though I wouldn't necessarily rely on the Ran, but in such a case where it's somebody who I was worried if they wouldn't have a way to do it in a permissive way might just not follow the halacha or have a very difficult time about it. So I did, all I did was I told her this Ran and I didn't tell her anything else. I just said, okay, just make sure you have the food on the blech Friday night, then put it in the fridge overnight, and Shabbos morning you want to heat it up, put it back on the blech. That's the second significance of this Ran. Again, that b'di'evad, if somebody does it, you could eat the food without question. Secondly, if there is a circumstance of somebody who's beginning to keep Shabbos and needs, we need to find leniency so that they'll be able to keep Shabbos properly, this is a great way to allow them to have, for them to be able to have hot food on Shabbos. For example, a kugel, if you leave a kugel on the flame from Friday afternoon till Shabbos lunch, the kugel will turn into a black crisp. Some people like their kugels crispy, but that's not going to be crispy. That will be a crisp. That is the famous Boston Heter, and that is the leniency of the Ran. Any questions about this Ran? Yes? Of course. Thank you very, very much. Whenever we talk about ever putting anything onto a fire on Shabbos, if it is not mevushal kol tzarko, fully cooked, you are possibly violating Isser Mida Oraisa. So we are always, always talking about something that is absolutely fully cooked. Then we could start the conversation of putting it back onto the flame. Excuse me. Thank you. Yes, that's correct. You always need the food to be fully cooked and the flame to be covered, but the other conditions will not be necessary. A dry food doesn't have to be hot, and you don't have to have daita lachsar, you don't have to have odo biyado. Baruch ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech Haolam, she'hakol nehiyah b'dvarav. If you left something on the blech Friday afternoon and it was on the blech for the first hour of Shabbos, but for whatever reason it didn't get hot, like you have a big pot of soup or a big pot of chicken, of meatballs or something, and it's a really big pot, and you left it on, that your blech was a low flame or the hot plate was a low flame, and you left it there for an hour, it still didn't get hot, could you put it back? I don't know the answer. Good question. Any other questions? Yes. No. If something was left in an oven that was off with the residual heat from the heat that was cooked in on Friday, that is not considered on the blech, and that does not warrant your ability to replace it back onto a fire on Shabbos day. No, that's not considered. Even the Ran would not allow that. That would be complete nesina mechadosh, which is also for, according to everybody. Fine. Yeah. This point we're finished with, we're going to now give the kulas. Okay. So we don't want to lechatchila rely on this Boston Heter. So how are we going to have our food warm on Shabbos? If you remember, we had the Baal Hamor a few weeks ago who said, ha'ochel b'Shabbos chamin, zochel l'keit hayamin, somebody who eats chalent or chamin on Shabbos is zochel to days of eternity, and we explain that's because we want to encourage following the perspective of the Mesorah in terms of understanding Pesukim, not the Karaim. That's just a reminder from a few weeks ago. So how can we have our hot food on Shabbos? So at the very end of last week, we mentioned the concept of Kedera al-Gabi Kedera. The Shulchan Aruch in Siman Reish and Gimel, Seif Hey, says that if somebody wants to warm up their food on Shabbos, so they could take their, with us it was a deli roll, a kugel, or any other solid food that they want to warm up, and place it on top of a pot that's sitting on the blech. Let me rephrase that. They could take it and place it on top of a pot that's above the fire. I don't think it needs a blech. That is very convenient. And that's going to be okay even if the food is going to reach Yad Saleh Dispo, which if you have, you know, pots that do conduct the heat properly, then oftentimes that will happen. If you put your challah, your deli roll, your kugel on top of a pot, the pot is sitting on top of the flame, on the blech, not on the blech, the heat is going to warm up your food and probably will reach Yad Saleh Dispo if it's sitting directly on the roof of the pot. That's what the Shulchan Aruch says, and this gave room for the following minhag ha'olam that one can rely on the following. This is really not found in too many places, but the place that is found is the best and the most reliable source that there is in Hilchas Shabbos, and that's the Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa. Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa of Neuwirth Shlita quotes from Shlomo Zalman, who says that based on this Shulchan Aruch, that you're allowed to put something on top of a pot, if you have a blech or a hot plate, even an adjustable hot plate, you can take a pan, take a pot, turn it upside down, and put your kugel, your deli roll, your challah on top of that upside down inverted pot, pan, plate, heat protected plate, not heat sensitive, but the opposite, that won't be broken by the heat. And you can warm up your food that way. Why? What's the pshat in the Shulchan Aruch? Why is the Shulchan Aruch, if we're not allowed to warm up foods on Shabbos, how come on top of a blech I am? Well, what's the whole problem with Chazar? Why am I not allowed to put things onto fires on Shabbos? They're already cooked. You can't say the problem is an issue of cooking. So why can't I put something on a fire on Shabbos? One is you might stoke the coal, so that will take care of if it's fully cooked. What is the other concern that we learned about 2 weeks ago, which is the problem of Chazara? It looks like you're cooking. Well, if you put something on top of another pot, that doesn't look like you're cooking. Well, if you take a pot and just sit it regularly, or a pan that sits regularly up, you know, right side up on a blech or on a hot plate, and you sit something in it, that still looks like cooking. How do you make something not look like cooking? Well, if you put something upside down on it, or if there's food in a pot, for example, that also, you know, if you put something on top of a cholent, or on top of a chicken soup, or on top of some other dish, that doesn't look like cooking, that's not mechazek mevasho, and therefore that will be mutar lichatchila, that's what Reb Shlomo Zalman says. So again, if you have food on the fire, put it on top of the food. If you don't have food on the fire, says Reb Shlomo Zalman, just take a tin pan, an aluminum pan, take a pot, and sit the food that you want to heat up on top of that inverted aluminum pan or pot. Now, I have a quick question for you. When we learned Mukta 2 years ago, we learned that pots are Mukta. Why are pots Mukta? Because it's a Klisha Malachta L'Isser. What do you do with a pot? The same thing you do with a pencil and a pen and a scissors. You do something that's also, you're cooking them. So pots are Mukta. So how could you take a pot? How's Rosh Shlomo Zalman saying? Take a pot, turn it upside down. That is correct. You're allowed to use a klisha malach to l'iser l'tzarach gufo. If you want to use something that's muktzah in this type of muktzah, klisha malach to l'iser, for a permitted purpose other than the designated purpose of cooking in it, you're allowed to move it for that. So therefore, this is such one of those permitted purposes, and therefore, even though pots in general are muktzah, if a pot, for example, is finished, is empty, and it's just sitting on your stovetop, and you don't like it because it looks ugly in your kitchen, then, I'm sorry, you have to swallow your pride. You'll have to leave it there till the end of Shabbos. But if you want to take that pot or take a pot from underneath your cabinet and put it on top of this blech and put it on top of your hot plate, flip it over so it's upside down and put a kugel on top of that, put a deli roll or a challah on top of that to heat, that will be mutter lechatchila. Any questions? Yes. No, this is something that's straight out of the fridge. Thank you very much. Thank you very much for clarifying this. Yes, Rav Shlomo Zalman, cited by the Shmiras Shabbos Kehilchasa, says you could take something that's been in the fridge for the past 3 weeks, right? You're having guests in for Pesach. We're now 5 weeks from before Pesach, right? 6 weeks. So we're 6 weeks before Pesach. If you know you're having guests on Pesach, so right now you're going to cook it, hopefully in Pesach Dik Kalim, come Pesach or Shabbos Shechalias for Pesach, you could take out your, and it's in the freezer, deep frozen for 6 weeks, Shabbos lunch, you're taking it out of the deep freezer, you're going to put it straight on the, assuming there's no frost, because if there's frost, the frost will get, you know, it's going to boil and that's cooking. So we're talking about something that's fully cooked, that doesn't have frost. You're going to take it out of the deep freezer, put it directly on your inverted plate, your inverted pan, and you're going to heat it up even to Yad Salat Isbo. Good? Yes. Thank you very much. If there is liquid involved, like I just mentioned, frost, for example, if there's any liquid involved that's going to be heated up to Yad Salat Isbo, so forget about the Issur D'Rabbanan of Chazara, forget about the Issur D'Rabbanan of Nesina Mechadash, heating up a liquid might be an Issur Mida'araisa. If you take a liquid that's cold and you heat it to reach Yad Salat Isbo, according to Menor Yishonim, even if it was cooked, it's still going to be an Issur D'Araisa, and that will not be okay. So therefore, if you have a soup in your refrigerator that you want to warm up, if you have an old, let's say last week I served chalent, a liquidy chalent, and there's a lot of leftovers, so I want to take out the chalent this Shabbos, but I don't want to leave it on the flame overnight again. That's going to be like 35 hours. At some point, the chalent is just going to disintegrate and turn into like radioactive something, or plutonium or something. So I want to leave it in the fridge until I need it 2 hours before, you know, 2 hours, 10 o'clock Shabbos morning. So there, since it's a liquid, let's assume it's liquidy, since it's a liquid, then when I heat up a liquid, that might be a violation, forget about the Isurim D'Rabbanan. That might be an Issur D'Oraisa of cooking. So therefore, heating up soup does not have this option. I won't be able to put soup or a liquid or a gravy on top of my inverted pans. Only dry foods that are already Mevushal called Tzarko. That's a great question. What happens if there's a little bit of moisture for example, you have roasted chicken with barbecue sauce on the chicken, and there's a little, is that barbecue sauce on top of the roasted chicken going to be considered a liquid? And now we're worried that, oh my gosh, you're heating up a liquid and you're going to violate an Issur D'Oraisa? That's an excellent, excellent, excellent question. If I remember correctly, it's a gigantic machlokas. I think Rav Avadi Yosef has a gigantic kula, and he says we follow majority. That means if the majority of the foodstuff is solid, so even if there's a minority, even if there's 49% that is liquid, you're not really cooking liquid, you're cooking a solid. And even if there's a whole bunch of liquid there, it's going to be okay. I think Ashkenazim don't follow that. Ashkenazim say you have to pour out whatever liquid there is, if there, whatever remains, after you pour it off, I think that's going to be okay. So I would say the barbecue sauce on top of your chicken, I would say the oil that's glistening on top of your kugels or deli roll, I think that would be okay. That would not be considered a liquid. I have to double check this because this is... Oh yeah, I spoke about this or something else? Okay, great. What did I say? How long ago is this? 2 weeks ago? November, I spoke about the following. I can't remember yet, last week. You wanted me to remember. What did I say in November?
Svarim follow Rove, and Ashkenazim are Machmir, and they had said that if it's in its own juice, then there's no problem.
If it's in its own juice, then even if the juice is there, that's if the juice comes out while you're cooking it.
Yeah.
Here it's talking about, Karen's asking if you have, let's say, a meat and it's sitting in gravy already, that might be a problem for Ashkenazim, certainly. Excellent question. Putting something in a place where it will get warm, but not yet Yad Salat Isbo, is not called cooking. Putting a liquid in a place where it can potentially ever reach Yad Salat Isbo, if it were to stay there for a long time, that is called violating cooking. Again, what am I doing? That's great. I could walk around with this. Yes. So on Shabbos morning, I'm taking a pan from my cabinet, inverting it, putting it on top of my blech, and then what I want to do? Take from my fridge what? A kugel from my fridge. That's an excellent question. Could you put some kind of rack or some kind of funny mechitza between your blech and the whole way that we're, the whole Shulchan Aruch that we're basing ourselves on is the Gemara, is the Shulchan Aruch that is saying putting something on top of a kedera. So it has to be put some on top of something so that it's weird enough that it's not mechazek kemevasha. It doesn't appear as though you're cooking. I don't know the answer. I don't know the answer. If you have a pot there or an inverted aluminum foil pan, definitely fine. If you have like a rack, so would anybody cook on top of that kind of rack? I don't know. Maybe a rack is a little bit like a barbecue grill. Yeah, people definitely cook on top of barbecue grills. So if you put a barbecue grill, you take it off the barbecue, you put it on top of your blech. You have a blech, a fire, on top of that there's a blech. On top of that you put a barbecue grill. I don't think that will be sufficient. Because people, I don't know, people cook on grills. It has to look, there has to be, I think there should be some height. I don't know the answer. But it appears to me that if you're going to do it l'chatchila, I would look for something else, like an inverted pan or an inverted pot, as opposed to just a rack. But we should research that more because that's an excellent question. Yeah.
What if somebody wasn't paying attention when they put the food on the blast and they accidentally take like the chicken from Friday night? It's in the gravy instead of the chicken cutlets.
So if they by mistake, so they have like an aluminum foil, they have something in the refrigerator, a closed pan that has aluminum foil on top, and they're putting it on top of the inverted contraption that we just created, and then they realize, oh my gosh, there was liquid there, so I just heated the liquid up on Shabbos. So since there's someone to rely on, there's some Rishonim who say that once liquids were cooked, they are forever cooked. There's no more bishul after that, it will still be kosher. But I guess you should check beforehand, because that could be a shaila of an issur d'oraisa. Yes? You are permitted to do this directly on top of the fire.
But do you also have to do it on the side?
You're asking a very good question. You're asking if you have a blech, let's say, on top of your stovetop, and there are four burners on the stovetop, only one burner is on, and you want to put something on, not on top of the fire. So could you put something on the blech that's not on top of the fire? I remember seeing that there was discussion about that. I don't remember seeing the conclusion. If you could please remind me during the week, email me or text me, and I'll try to follow up next week, Bezus Hashem. I don't remember. Yeah, Shoshi. Excellent question. I don't really know the answer. The question is, what's the rule about Ashkenazim eating at Sephardim's homes? Let's say there's a Sephardi who says, hey, this is 51% liquid. I'm sorry, 51% solid. I could heat it up on Shabbos. And you're like, oh my gosh, they're violating an Issur d'oraisa. They're heating up liquids. So I don't think the food will be treif, meaning the food is kosher, like we've been saying, because there's whom to rely on. But you say, should you go to a house, l'chatchila, if you know that they're going to be warming up food like that? I don't know. I'd have to, we could follow up. Yeah. We'll talk about non-adjustable hot plates either in about 25 minutes or early next week. I hope in 25 minutes. Okay. So I just gave you a very nice kula from the Shmiras Shabbos Pilchasa. And it basically will solve many of our problems. We're never going to be able to heat up warm things. There's nothing to discuss. There's no solution, no one to rely on, no leniency to warm up liquids that are cold to make them hot. That's just not an option on Shabbos. That's called cooking. You're not allowed to cook on Shabbos. We can't discuss that. So that we didn't solve. We also didn't solve making your food piping, burning hot, because if it's going to be this sitting on top of an inverted pan, it will get warm, it will even get yatzla this bow, and I give you my word, it will get yatzla this bow if you sit it, you know, properly on an aluminum foil pan that's turned upside down. I did it last week. But it's not going to get piping hot, so it's not perfect. Let's talk about, but it was a great kula. It's a great kula. That kula is not so clear. Everything that I've said for the past 15 minutes, yes, the Shmir Shabbos Kilchasa did say it based on Rav Shlomo Zalman. However, the Mishnah Berurah says, sorry, we don't paskin like that. What do you mean? But the Shulchan Aruch said that if something is cold, you're allowed to take something that's cold and put it on top of a kedera, and put it on top of a pot. So that's what I did. I took a pot, turned it upside down, and I put something on top of that. What could be wrong? What could be wrong is the following question that many, many, many of the Achronim ask. And that is that the Shulchan Aruch, just a tiny bit before, the Shulchan Aruch that I mentioned to you earlier was Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Hei. Well, in Reish Nun Gimel Se'if Gimel, just two Se'ifim prior, the Shulchan Aruch tells the following story. Hamashkin baboker, somebody wakes up in the morning, Shabbos morning, v'roa shehikticha tavshilo, that his chalent is burning. Might have happened to you. V'yare penyach diach yoser, and the person is concerned lest it might burn further, dry out further. What could they do? And this is something that I did. They could lift up their chalent pot, put it down on top of some kind of kedera yeshana, on top of I used an aluminum foil pot. What I did, I'll tell you what happened, I'll tell you the story, then we'll see what the Shulchan Aruch says. My chalent was drying out. I know, what happened was, I left it, I have settings, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. And on Erev Shabbos, I put it on 6 to boil up, and then when it's going to stay on the flame for all night, for the 12, the 14 hours of the sitting on the flame on Shabbos, of the element on Shabbos, I turn it down to 3 or 4. What happened? I set it on 6, I forgot to change it to 4, 3 or 4. I came back from shul, and Dora, our friendly Shabbos guy, wasn't home that Shabbos. She was in Florida. I appreciate when Dora calls me before Shabbos and tells me she's going to Florida. I guess she didn't tell me that she's going to be away. So if Dora's not here, and my super was also off, because the weekends he doesn't stay in the building, so I'm stuck with a chalent on 6. If my chalent stays on 6, what's going to have to happen to our chalent tomorrow? It's going to be a crisp. And chalents that are crisp are not good. So I thought of the following solution. I thought of this exact seif, and this is what I did. I took an aluminum foil pan. I put it down. I lifted up my chalent, or maybe my wife lifted up my chalent. And we put this aluminum foil pan directly on. I have a flat chalent pot, not the one with walls, but the flat one. I just put it on the bottom of the base. And I slammed, I mean, not hard enough that it would splatter on my tie, but I slammed the chalent pot down so it will sort of contour the aluminum foil pan beneath it to take the shape of the thing that it's pushed down upon. And that would serve as a little bit of a... Again, it was already lined because I wanted to line my chalent pot so it would have a blech, but this is an added, you know, separation, an added machitza, an added, you know, height that was given to distance the bottom of my chalent pot, the chalent itself, from the heating element. So, was that okay? Of course it was okay. Says the Shulchan Aruch, 3 more words, and this is where we get into trouble. Says the Shulchan Aruch, you could take off your chalent that's burning and put it down on top of a pot so that it won't burn more. And then the Shulchan Aruch says, just be careful that you don't put it on the ground. Be careful that it's still hot. Be careful that you have intention to return it. What's the Shulchan Aruch saying? You're allowed to put something on top of a kedera if you follow all the conditions of chazara. Wait a second. Didn't I tell you 20 minutes ago that the Shulchan Aruch says if you want to warm something up from the refrigerator, put it on top of a kedera? And here it's saying, if you want to warm something up, if you want to put something on top of a kedera, go ahead, just make sure it's still hot, make sure it's still in your hand, make sure you have intention to return it. I'm in trouble. We have a contradiction in the Shulchan Aruch. The contradiction is as follows. The seif that we've been talking about for the past half hour says that if you want to take something out of the refrigerator, you could put it on top of a pot. And here the Shulchan Aruch that we're explaining right now in Seif Gimel is saying that if you have something that's on the flame that you want to do chazara on, you could do chazara and put it on top of a pot. Wait a second. If you're putting something on top of a pot, do you need all the conditions of chazara? That it still be hot? That it still be in your hands? Or do you not need those conditions? Can you take it out of the refrigerator? This is the contradiction in Shulchan Aruch that all the poskim ask, that the Mishnah Berurah himself asks, and listen to their answer. And with their answer, we are going to lose the whole leniency, the whole kula that we've had for the past half hour based on the Shemiras Shabbos and based on Rosh Shlomo Zalman Arbach. The answer that they give is that what is this whole heter of kedera al gabe kedera? What does it mean that you're allowed to just take something from the refrigerator and put it on a pot? That's putting it on top of a pot that has food in it. Then it doesn't look like you're cooking. If I take a kugel from the refrigerator and put it on top of a cholent, not a cholent pot, a cholent, not a soup pot, but a soup, a kugel, so I can take a kugel and put it on top of a soup, I put it on top of a cholent. That doesn't look like cooking. That's what the Shulchan Aruch permits us to do from the refrigerator. if I have something that I just want to put on top of a pan that's empty, a pot that's empty, aluminum foil or metal or Farberware or whatever, inverted, not inverted, I just want to put it on top of the metal, then that still looks a little bit like you're cooking. And the only time you're going to be able to do that, to put it on top of a regular metal pan without food in it, is only if it's still hot, it's still in your hand, you have all the conditions of chazorah that are necessary. That's how they answer this contradiction. So in 30 seconds, I'll repeat the contradiction, I'll repeat the answer, and I'll tell you what comes out halacha l'maaseh from this. The contradiction is, one Shulchan Aruch says that you could take something out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a pot. We explained on top of an inverted pot. The other Shulchan Aruch says that if I want to put something on top of a pot, it has to be kept warm, it has to be in your hands, it can't come from the refrigerator. That's a contradiction. The answer is that there's a distinction between putting something on top of a pot that's filled with food versus putting something on top of just a metal, unfilled pot. That if I want to take something from the refrigerator, I could only put it on top of a filled with food pot. If I want to take something that's still hot, then I'm allowed to put it even just on the metal. According to this, what comes out is that if I want to take something from the refrigerator, I can only warm it up, how? By putting it on top of a pot that has food in it. And this is the Mishnah Berurah's position. So according to the Mishnah Berurah and Rabbi Yashiv, and probably the majority of the poskim, I am not able to take something out of the refrigerator and put it on an inverted pot. I'm able to take it out of the refrigerator and put it on top of my chalent pot and my soup pot, but nothing else. If there's chalent in there and soup in there. People joke that the reason why, even though the husbands learn Mishnah Berurah, the women all put it on inverted pans is because the women all learned in the seminaries in Israel, and all the teachers in Israel who teach Hilchos Shabbos use Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, so therefore they give you the kula of Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, even though the Mishnah Berurah himself says we don't do that. That's a side point. So therefore, according to this, we'll call it a chumrah, but it's not really a chumrah. It's, I think, the majority of the poskim do say that I will not have this leniency that we talked about for the first half hour of putting something on an inverted pan. I can only warm something up by putting it, on top of my chalent pot that's filled with chalent or my soup pot that is filled with soup. Why? I guess they understand that if we want to do an asina chadasha, take something from the refrigerator, it has to really not look like cooking. When does something not look like cooking? If you put it on top of an inverted pan, you're just, I don't know, you're, as Rabbi Soloveitchik, I think, also held and just didn't allow this inverted pan. And Rabbi, you know, the poskim here, and why you also don't use this inverted pan situation on top of a blech that Rabbi Shlomo Zalman allowed. They say, if you take food from the refrigerator and put it on top of an inverted pan, you're just putting it in it, and the words of Rav Soloveitchik were, on top of a crooked blech. Normally your blech is flat. You put an inverted pan, now your blech is crooked. What do? You're taking something out of the refrigerator and putting it on top of a crooked blech. You can't put something from the refrigerator on a blech. And that's what Rav Soloveitchik said, and that's what Rav Shechter and Rav Willig hold, that you can't take something from the refrigerator and put it on top of an inverted pan that's on the blech. But Rav Shlomo Zalman is definitely one to rely on. Now, we have so far given two kulas to allow us to warm up food on Shabbos. First one is to put on top of the inverted pan, and that's what Rav Shlomo Zalman says in Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa, and that is the Minhag HaOlam. Despite the fact that I say the majority of the poskim aren't the most favorable about it, the Minhag HaOlam throughout the Torah world in general, I'm not talking about YU, specifically I'm talking about the Torah world in general, does not say that you need to have a kedera on top of a pot that's full, which is what the Mishnah Berurah says and what the YU poskim are machmir. The general Minhag HaOlam is to, yes, allow you to put it on top of an inverted pan, like Rav Shlomo Zalman's kula. Specifically, for people in our community, who are in the YU community, and who maybe follow Rav Shechter of Willig, we find ourselves in a little bit of a bind. Because if we want to be machmir like the YU poskim, they don't allow us this leniency of the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasim to put something on an inverted pen. So it makes life a little bit more difficult. However, there is an opinion, again, within the YU Poskim, which is not held by the general Olam HaTorah, and that is the following. For different reasons, and we're not going to go into the specifics of why, let's talk about a question I was asked half an hour ago, and I'm glad I got to it. What were we talking about for the past 40-some-odd minutes? We were talking about a blech. We were talking about a yes-adjustable hot plate. What happens if I want to warm up my food, my kugel from the refrigerator, on a non-adjustable hot plate? Is that going to be any better? I always try to take my sips of water at exciting points. Did you ever remember? I remember when I was little, Dukes of Hazzard. Do you remember Dukes of Hazzard? I'm dating myself, right? That's the word. So Dukes of Hazzard, there was this race car that they would drive, and the commercials would always happen where the car takes off on hits a bump and flies into the air. That's when the commercial would happen, because you don't know is it going to land? Is it going to crash? What's going to happen? So as it's in the air, that's when the commercials would happen. So I try to do the same thing. I don't know, I have a feeling Dukes of Hazzard was more fun listening than listening to myself. Nevertheless, so I have a non-adjustable hot plate. Can I take my kugel out of the refrigerator and put it directly on top of the non-adjustable hot plate? Let's try to analyze the question here. If I take a kugel and put it on a blech, that looks like cooking. That could still be mechazei kemevashel. Is there shema yechata? Might I stoke the coals? No, I'm not going to stoke the coals because there's a blech there. That's the whole point of a blech, not to stoke the coals. But it's mechzei kemevashel. It looks like you're cooking. You just put it, there's just a mechitza there, but you're putting some food on top of a fire. A yes adjustable hot plate. So there's a concern that you're going to adjust the hot plate. That's shema yechata. Let's say you cover the knobs and you have this, like we talked about 2 weeks ago. You're going to put your aluminum foil shooting out from all the sides so that you know to serve as a blech. Okay, so you won't stoke the coals. But on a yes adjustable hot plate, or an example of a yes adjustable hot plate is a crock pot that has is a hot plate that's adjustable. So people do cook on yes adjustable hot plates. You put it on high and it could cook there. But what about non-adjustable hot plates? Now those, you can't adjust it, so there's no problem of shema yechata that you might stoke the coals. Does anyone cook on a non-adjustable hot plate? So, this is where it depends where you live comes into play. Somebody was telling me that in Eretz Yisrael, on the army bases, when you don't have things to cook on, the people in the army, the chayalim, do cook, because that's all they could do. If I recall, I remember back when I was in Karen Biavna in Yeshiva, we used to fry our eggs and our salami on the irons, you know, irons for clothing. So some people have irons for shirts or pants or blouses. Well, we had irons for milchiks and irons for fleishos. That's adjustable. Okay, so that's not a good example. But as far as non-adjustable hot plates, so chayalim, that's all they have. So they do cook on non-adjustable hot plates, but at least in America. In America, I think it's fair to say, and Rav Ulrich says it specifically, articulates it Mefurish in his Sefer Amordechai, which has a long section talking about everything we talked about tonight on Hilchas Bishul B'Shabbos and how to warm up foods. There's no concern I might adjust the flame because it's non-adjustable. It doesn't look like you're cooking. It's not Mechazei Kemevashel because no one cooks on a non-adjustable hot plate. And therefore, Rav Ulrich is makel to put something directly from the refrigerator onto a non-adjustable hot plate. I told you 10 minutes ago that Rabbi Willig and Rabbi Shechter and Machmir, they hold like the Mishnah Berurah and the many other poskim who don't allow you the leniency of putting food from the refrigerator directly on an inverted pan. They say you could only put it on top of a chalon pot or on top of a soup pot. That's a chumrah that they hold. They don't hold for the kula of an inverted pan. But on the other hand, they do, the poskim and the YU poskim do allow primarily this kula of taking a solid, fully cooked kugel, not liquid, solid, davar gush, fully cooked kugel from the refrigerator or a challah or a deli roll from the refrigerator and putting it directly on top of a non-adjustable hot plate that doesn't even need a blech because it's considered blecht, because it's not adjustable. There's no, the blocks are only shemiyachat, so there's no concern for stoking or adjusting because it's not adjustable. So therefore, for those people who generally follow the Wayu poskim, they definitely have the right to follow this leniency of taking a kugel directly out of the refrigerator and putting it directly onto their non-adjustable hot plates. Which is why, whether you're going to follow this specifically or not, I always tell people that whenever they're going to get on the market for a hot plate, they should always get a non-adjustable hot plate just because it never needs a blech. When you want to do shihi on Friday afternoon, you never need a blech. If you want to rely on these poskim, Rav Shechter, Rabbi Willig, certainly Rav Shechter might hold of this a little bit, or sometimes says people that they could rely on it, and you could put it directly on the non-adjustable hot plate. So what happens when you have the Michalala girl marry the Wayu guy? So the Michalala girl learned from her seminary teachers to follow Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. And he doesn't allow you to put something on a hot plate. The Wayu person doesn't hold from the Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa's kulas about putting things on inverted dishes, inverted pans. So where is this relationship going to go? I don't know what questions you ask when you do your calling around, but this is definitely something to inquire about. So the solution is very simple. What I mean to say is if you want to cover all your bases and be good, both according to the Minhag HaOlam, which follows Shlomo Zalman, and to follow those of us who are in the YU community and do feel close with Rav Shechter and Rav Willig, at least as far as following their psukim, you could have your cake and eat it too by being machmir for both of them. Well, they hold, Rav Shechter and Rav Willig hold, that you could just put something directly on a blech. I'm sorry, I take that back. You cannot put anything on a blech. You could put a kugel directly on a non-adjustable hot plate. But the Shemir Shas Kilchasa people say, no, that's usur. It's putting it directly on a hot plate. You can't do that. Okay, well, what do they say? Use something inverted. Well, if you use an inverted plate or an inverted pot, you're even allowed to put on a blech that's adjustable or an adjustable fire. The Wayu Pasim say, don't do that. So what can I do? I could do both. I could take a non-adjustable hot plate and put my aluminum foil tin pans turned over my inverted plate, and now Rav Shlomo Zalman's people I am following, the Wayu poskim I am following, life is great. And that's why you're only allowed to have one person married to another, because if there would be a third party involved, you'd realize that the Mishnah Berurah we did not solve. The Mishnah Berurah's opinion says that you're only allowed to warm food from the refrigerator on top of a pot that's filled with food. And that's not what we're saying here. So if you ask me what I do at my house, I have a non-adjustable hot plate, and I invert my aluminum foil pans. Yes, my wife did go to Michalala, and I do go to YU. But even if she wouldn't, we would probably, I don't know what we would do. But that is what we do. So we take a non-adjustable hot plate, and we invert our pans, and we take a cold deli roll or a kugel or a chalent, not a chalent, that's liquid, or a challah from the refrigerator, and put it on top of the inverted pan, on top of the non-adjustable hot plate, and then we have Rav Shlomo Zalman to rely on, because he says as long as it's inverted, you could do it even on a blech or an adjustable hot plate. And as far as the Wayu poskim who don't hold from that, they say you could just put it directly on a non-adjustable hot plate. And that's what we do, that's what I myself personally do, and I think there's certainly plenty to rely on. And even if you don't want to be do this double thing, you probably, if you feel that you're in the YU community, you could follow the YU poskim. If you feel like you're an Eretz Yisrael Dikr kind of Yid, then you could definitely follow Shemir Shabbos Kilchasa. If you're a Mishnah Berurah Yid, then you're in trouble, and you can only do Kedera Agabe Kedera, that is filled with food on the bottom. And with that, we have concluded the discussion of how you could warm food up on Shabbos. And next week, we're going to talk about two other ways to warm a food on Shabbos. And one of them is the Kedera Blech, the famous or the infamous Kedera Blech. We'll talk about the halachic significance of the halachic permissibility of the Kedera Blech, if you're familiar with that. That will be next week. But I'll take questions now about what we talked about of warming food up on Shabbos. Do you want a 30-second review, or it's clear? It's good? It's good. I should or I shouldn't? Good. Okay, great. Go ahead. So covering the knobs, we talked in the past, covering the knobs is not lechatchila. Just like the Mishnah says you have to scrape out the coals, so too nowadays you have to cover the heat source. If you cover the knobs with the oven, it's okay. Ravan Kartler says that, but we don't rely on that lechatchila. you have to cover the heat source, which is the either the element, the interior of the crock pot, or the blech, the fire on the blech.
No, I'm saying if you had a blech also, that turned it into a non-adjustable.
No, it just means it's a blech. It won't turn into a non-adjustable. Right. That, thank you. That's a very important point. If you have an adjustable, adjustable hot plate, and you cover the knobs, that does not turn it into this non-adjustable hot plate, which we say is more lenient. So if you do want to follow these, if your family is a YU family, you want to rely on the YU posting to take a kugel directly from the fridge onto a non-adjustable hot plate, you're going to have to go out and buy a new hot plate that does not have a dial. You cannot just cover the dial knobs. Excellent point. Thank you. Warming drawers is a great question. I think there are different kinds of warming drawers. I don't know because I'm not familiar personally with warming drawers. I remember speaking to Willig about a month or two ago about warming drawers, and he said that they do need a blech. How do you build a blech for a warming drawer? I'm not sure. You might need a box. So you have to show. You have to email me a picture or a link to your oven with your warming drawer, and we'll have to look at it and see what it would entail. But it might need a blech. And a blech for an oven is different than a stovetop. A stovetop is just a two-dimensional, surface area. A blech for an oven, the interior of an oven, is a three-dimensional, fully enclosed box, which is not common. And you're going to have a tinsmith make it for you. Yeah. Hatmana is a great topic. I look forward to learning Hatmana with you in about 2 weeks. Hatmana will probably not be an issue with the warming drawer, and that is because we'll learn in 2 weeks that Hatmana is only when the insulating material is flush against the food, the pot that's being insulated. But if there is 3 inches of airspace between the walls of the oven and the pot, then that's not considered Hatmana. But that we'll learn in 2 weeks. Yeah. More questions? Okay, so Be'ez Hashem, next week we'll continue with the two other ways that you might be able to warm things up on Shabbos, and the Keder Blech, and other ways to save your challah from being burnt, in terms of adding hot water to it on Shabbos, and I look forward to seeing you then.